some illegal aliens lack enduring ties to the state.
Acting U.S. Solicitor General Jeff Wall, the Constitution says the census must count all persons in each state.
Undocumented immigrants have lived here for decades and have substantial community ties. Their undocumented status doesn't erase their presence.
New York Solicitor General Barbara Underwood, a second coronavirus vaccine submitted for emergency FDA approval. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says on Fox about Americans skeptical of a vaccine.
They're going to get experience as we protect our most vulnerable, protect our healthcare workers. People are going to see this. They're going to see the effect, and they're going to want it themselves, and we're going to work to convince them of that.
America's listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of the Herb Shop Wellness Center, Peppertree Shopping Center, Montgomery's number one nutritional and herb supplemental products. Check them out on the web at theherbshopal.com.
Thomas Weather. Hi, everybody. Talk about a change of wardrobe and a change of reality. Today, windy, sharply colder, Arctic air moving in. No traditional high today. Temperatures fall all day, down to 42 by, let's say, sunset. Upper 20s overnight tonight. The first widespread freeze of the season. Tomorrow will be a cold December day with high temperatures only in the 40s. Coldest night will be Tuesday night. I think we'll fall to the mid-20s by dawn on Wednesday. And then back to the 50s on Wednesday afternoon. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Need to do some holiday shopping, but you're low on cash? No problem. ASE Credit Union has you covered with holiday loans and rates as low as 7.99% with approved credit. Apply online or visit your local branch today. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Equal opportunity lender.
For CBS 8 and ABC 32, I'm Jalea Brooks. Flags across Alabama were at half staff yesterday as former state representative Alvin Holmes was laid to rest. Holmes had been the longest serving member of the Alabama House of Representatives before his 2018 defeat. He died on November 21st at age 81. The city of Montgomery has settled a federal lawsuit on panhandling. The settlement agreement requires the city to stop the enforcement of two ordinances that once criminalized panhandling. The Montgomery Public School family is mourning the deaths of two administrators, Lee High School Assistant Principal Dr. Dennis McOrvey and Johnny Carr Middle School Assistant Principal Joshua Farrow. Their causes of death are unknown at this time. There will be counselors on campus for students and staff this week. Those are this morning's top headlines. For more on these stories and others, be sure to watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. From the Montgomery Newsroom, I'm Jalea Brooks.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Come on, boy, finish your business, and we'll get you back inside.
Hey, neighbor, trouble with those allergies again?
Yep, tried just about everything, but he's still scratching all day, every day. Feels so bad for the little guy.
Happened to us not long ago. Randy at Prattville Farm Center recommended Victor dog food. No corn, wheat, gluten, or soy. Plus, it's cheaper than the food I was buying across town.
Happy allergy-free dogs eat Victor dog food from Prattville Farm Center. 1154 South Memorial Drive, 365-5400.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Monday. Starting your week out right. Well, I tell you what, I can't hold back any longer. Let's go to my good friend who I haven't talked to in a week, over a week, John Williams, Mortgage Corporation of the South. John, did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Hey, good afternoon, stranger. I had a wonderful Thanksgiving, and I hope you did, and I hope all of your listeners did as well.
Well, it seems that they did. I know I did.
Well, you know, I can tell you this. Last week was special for me because, you know, Thanksgiving being on Thursday, and our offices were actually closed on the day after, Friday, giving the staff a little bit of much-needed time off with their families. But I took the entire week off, and do you know that's the first week-long vacation I've had in 10 years.
Oh, my goodness. Is my audience working you too hard?
I tell you what, it was much needed. But I'm energized and ready to rock and roll. Been here at it since shortly after the sun came up this morning.
So there we go.
We're back in the saddle and going gangbusters up here. I sure do want to tell you this. I've run into several people. In fact, I was on the phone with someone earlier today. They called, and they only want to talk with me because they hear me on your show. And they said, just want to talk with you a little bit about, some things that we might be able to do up there. Their credit's less than perfect. And, but anyway, with that being said, that phone call lasted for like 45 minutes or so. We talked about a lot of things. And this is one of your listeners, and I think we're going to be able to help them out. So with that being said, I just want to tell you, Dan, how much I appreciate spreading the word. You spread the word. It's a service. You know, this is information. We have a great service up here at Mortgage Corporation South, and you know, your listeners know of this really because of you. And I just want you to know I appreciate it very much, and I know your listeners do as well.
Well, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think as much of you, and also what you've done for me and what you've done for several members of my audience. My audience loves you.
Well, I tell you, the feelings are absolutely mutual, and getting to meet those folks and all that, it's a blessing. So we'll get right to it. What's all this about? Mortgage Corporation of the South, folks, we're a mortgage and loan center located right here on top of the mountain in Wetumpka, Alabama. We have just marked our 25-year anniversary. This coming up February will be 26 years we've been in business in Wetumpka. And we're a mortgage company, and we offer loans to folks who have perfect credit to buy homes or refinance loans. We offer loans on automobiles for folks who have less than perfect credit, and we also offer equity loans. Doesn't matter if you have a home, a mobile home with land, or even land. We're here to help you get the cash you need with an equity loan and help you rebuild your credit at the same time. So basically, with all that said, if you're anywhere within the sound of my voice and Dan's show, there's really no other company you need to consider calling other than Mortgage Corporation of the South. MCS, the Mortgage and Loan Center on top of the mountain in Wetumpka. Phone number here is 567. It's a new one. 567-9000. 567-9000 puts you right through to us. 567-9000, and we answer the phones here. Company NMLS number is 232-876. Equal housing lender. Folks, I know that's a lot of information coming at you, but I promise you, if you need a mortgage, we'll make it worth your time. Call us.
I bet the girls are not asking to be outside now, are they?
They are not. They have not mentioned anything about that gazebo we talked about a little over a week ago. Not a word. It's been quiet.
Unless it has a fireplace in it. Well, John, now that you're all rested, audience, I want you to keep him busy and calling him at 567-9000. He'll do a great job for you, just like he did for me.
Thank you so much. Y'all have a great rest of the day. The show sounded wonderful, and I'm listening. So talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks, John. Tell the girls I said hi.
I will.
GW, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Afternoon. I have some numbers which I want you to assume are correct. I just looked them up throughout. I went back and looked up some more numbers today. And then I want your, if you've heard anything in reference to these numbers as far as the fraud allegations go in the election, or know anything about saying there's potential evidence. You've got 328 million people in the United States of America. Now, these numbers are 2019 numbers. But if you take consideration, a little bit over 2 million die per year, and you know they're probably going to stay close to the same. You have voting age numbers and going from 18 up is about 75.3 million people out of that 328 are not voting age. So it's about 260 million people, let's say, are of voting age. You have, in 2019, approximately 154 million registered voters in the United States of America. It was actually a little bit less than that, assuming some people die and, you know, could be approximately the same in 2020. You've got, based on the last numbers, about 160 million people voted in a presidential race, which is more than what you have registered to vote in the U.S. Now, I want to first, though, I'd like you to get comments on it, and if you've heard anything about that specifically in reference to the allegations.
Let me
picked it up on the computer.
Okay, so you found your voter registration number on the computer.
Correct. I just did that. Actually, the voter registered voters, I just did that at lunchtime when I was in from the Huntsman stand. I looked that up. That was 2019 numbers. It was really like 153.8-something registered voters in the United States. And as far as the number of people in the United States, it's 328 million. I looked that up today. Again, I've already double-checked this several times. And as far as the voting age, that's a 2000. That might be a 2018 statistic. They give you the male and female from age 0 to 5 or 0 to 8, and then they go from 8 to 12 and 12 to 15, 14 and 15 to 19. Of course, 15 to 17 can't vote. I think you can vote if you're 18. But so, it's like 75.3 million people in the United States out of that 328 million. Are not eligible to vote by age, and I looked up the registered. Then I looked up the registered voter count in 2019. You actually have more people voted if you go by that number in 2020 presidential race than what you have actually legally registered to vote in the United States.
Okay, well, everything is based on your premise of registered voters, right?
Correct.
Okay, well,
I mean, if you're going to say the registered voters, you can throw
numbers around all you want to. The whole thing gets down to that premise. So I need to see something that says that's what the registered voters are. Where on the internet did you get that number?
Just through Google.
When you Google something, what is the source of your Google?
There's several websites. I just crossed a couple of different websites.
Do you remember the name of the website?
No, I don't. It was probably the third or fourth one down. It appeared to be a governmental website.
Okay, well, I just typed in number of registered voters in U.S., and I'm not getting a real clean 2019 number here.
Hang on, let me see if I can talk to you on the internet on my phone.
Don't have a wreck.
Let's see. Oh, no, I'm on a dirt road. I'll stop. Okay.
Don't hit a deer.
No, that'd be a waste. It's called... one of them is statista.com, economy, politics and government. In 2018, there were 153.07 million people registered to vote in the United States. And that's an increase from 1996, when there was 127.68 million people registered to vote. That's lower than the peak in 2016 when you had 157.6 million people registered to vote. And then you can actually go down there. Well, actually, it goes 1996 through 2018. And I'm trying to, let me go back one.
Let me say sometimes numbers don't do well on the air. By the way, it's
I understand
it gets very monotonous. Because the figure I'm looking at says there were 239 million registered voters in 2020.
Okay, well, I'll just go with that one. That was the easiest one I could find.
Yeah, well, just for future critical thinking here, is that whenever you build a case, you have what's called a premise. Look at what your premise is based on. And I quickly got to the point that you were based on registered voters. So whenever you're doing that, you don't want to go to a single source that bases your premise on a single source. You want to triple check that and find other sources. Do you find any other sources that disagree with your primary source? Then you, if it doesn't align, if everybody says it's right, then you're probably right. But if other people are saying something different, then you're probably not right.
I'm going to do that. I might need to call back now. Because the source you just checked was on a page, too, I take it from somebody. Correct?
Well, I just went to, that was Wikipedia. Then I looked at the Washington Post on the voter registration turnout article November the 5th, 2020.
Is that where it said 159.8 million people voted?
Let me go back to that. I've already closed that tab. It says the voter turnout was 65.6% of the registered voters.
It's actually more percentage than the population of the people that would be eligible to vote was everyone registered.
But again, that's based on your registered voters.
Well, I mean, if you got 328 million people total in the population, eligible to even be registered is about 260 million. And if you got 160 million people voted, that's about 65% of just the people that are even eligible to vote were everyone registered. So they're saying, based on that number, you're saying that two-thirds of the registered voters voted. I don't think everyone. I'm just saying number-wise. I don't think all 260.
Well, again, you need to check the numbers of. Again, that you had another premise there. Is your premise correct of 18 plus population? And I don't know the answer to that because I'm not sitting here with the computer with you talking about this.
Right. I'm gonna look it up.
Let me put it this way, GW. Let me put it this way. With all the media that's out there that wants this to be something wrong with it, I think somebody would have come up and found out what you just did and could substantiate that.
Well, I know they've substantiated that there's more people voted in the counties.
Yeah, now that is true. In Michigan. In Michigan,
that's true. I think it's Fulton County, too.
Okay. But we're just dribbling around here. You started out with something big. Now we're down to a county. So I agree.
I'm gonna look at three different sources, like what you said. But you know, in the meantime, you know, get a chance. Look at the number of people actually.
GW, again, I'm it's a razor. Yeah. It's that the simplest solution, simplest answer is probably the right answer. If somebody would, I guarantee you, somebody would figure that out and be barking it from all over the world. GW, I got to go, buddy. You have a great day. Going to be back after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Revolutionary in his field, Dr. Banati created, perfected, and patented the Banati spine procedures. Using his genius, Banati invented the precise tools necessary to minimize surgery, scarring, anesthesia, and recovery. So successful are the Banati spine procedures, they consistently reflect 98.75% patient satisfaction. 60,000 procedures have been performed exclusively at our location. Nearly half our patients have suffered from failed back and neck surgeries at other facilities. Banati succeeds where others fail.
Remember the good old days when Christmas gifts had us playing outdoors? Well, these days, most kids only ask for another electronic device that'll keep them cooped up inside. Hey, folks, this is Bruce Holding with CTE Outdoor Power. This Christmas, Let's take charge and get the kids or grandkids enjoying the great outdoors with a go-kart or mini bike from CTE. Now, everyone knows go-karts are fantastic family fun, and these go-karts are fun and safe. All of our two-seater go-karts have a three-point safety harness, roll bars, and hydraulic brakes. So with over 12 different models and colors to choose from, and mini bikes starting at only $699 or 0% interest and payments less than $20, let's get them outdoors this Christmas with a go-kart or mini bike from CTE Outdoor Power. I-85 at Perry Hill Road and CTEOutdoorPower.com, where for over 20 years we provide parts and service for what we sell and other brands as well.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
G2A, this is where we are. Yeah, Michael Flynn had his first interview after his pardon that he had. I may not be able to get to that until tomorrow. I'm going to be leaving the show early at 2:30. I have some dental issues that I've got to see about. Gotta go see my good friend, Dr. Dan Hudson. Let's continue on with Krebs.
Let me ask for your reaction to some of the vote fraud that the president and his team have been alleging. Votes tabulated in foreign countries.
So all votes in the United States of America are counted in the United States of America. I don't understand this claim. All votes in the United States of America are counted in the United States of America, period.
Voting machines corrupted by mysterious actors in Venezuela.
So, again, there's no evidence that any machine that I'm aware of has been manipulated by a foreign power, period.
Communist money from China and Cuba used to influence the election.
Look, I think these, we can go on and on with all the farcical claims that alleging interference in the 2020 election, but the proof is in the ballots. The recounts are consistent with the initial count, and to me, that's further evidence, that's confirmation that the systems used in the 2020 election performed as expected, and the American people should have 100% confidence in their vote.
100% confidence in their vote. I tell you, I'm not 100% confident in my vote. Well, I am in Alabama. I wouldn't be if I was in Georgia, for example. Let's continue on with this guy.
In a news conference, a lawyer who was representing the president at the time, Sidney Powell, said specifically that the Dominion Company's voting machines, quote,
it can set and run an algorithm that probably ran all over the country to take a certain percentage of votes from President Trump and flip them to President Biden.
Votes were cast in Georgia, for instance, again, on paper. They were counted by a machine. They were subsequently recounted by hand. The outcomes of that count were consistent. If there was an algorithm that was flipping votes or changing votes, it didn't work. I think the more likely explanation, though, is that there is no algorithm, that the systems performed as intended, that the series of security controls before, during, and after an election protected those systems from any sort of misbehavior.
Most elections are run by each state's Secretary of State, but not one of them, Democrat or Republican, has reported ballot rigging that would change the election. Some are paying a price for integrity.
And it's, in my view, a travesty what's happening right now with all these death threats to election officials, to secretaries of state. I want everybody to look at Secretary Bachfar in Pennsylvania, Secretary Benson in Michigan, Secretary Sagaski in Nevada, Secretary Hobbs in Arizona. All strong women that are standing up,
the sex court,
that are under attack from all sides, and they're defending democracy. They're doing their jobs. Look at Secretary Raffensperger in Georgia, lifelong Republican. He put country before party and is holding a free and fair election in that state. There's some real heroes out there. There's some real patriots.
When somebody does something like that, it's called masking, and what they're doing is masking over something. All women had to throw the sex card out there, and then he mentions the Georgia. But he's a lifelong Republican. Let me tell you, there are plenty of lifelong Republicans that hated Donald Trump. Plenty of them. And we saw a bunch of them around the White House and within his government that were pooping on him. So that's not an excuse. This is, they're trying to mask that. That's what bothers me about this guy. He's too cute by half. Final cut. Listen to this.
At the Capitol, the stage is going up for Inauguration Day, January 20th. Well before that, on December 14th, the presidential electors will cast their ballots, which should settle the election. Christopher Krebs told us it's ironic that the disruption and disinformation he feared from abroad came instead from Pennsylvania Avenue. The president says you're dead wrong about election security, and to him you say what?
There is no foreign power that is flipping votes. There's no domestic actor flipping votes. I did it right. We did it right. This was a secure election.
So the problem is on Pennsylvania Avenue. A little deflecting. It's not anywhere else. So don't look over there. Don't look at these states. Oh, the problem's over on Pennsylvania Avenue. Don't look at these states. Don't look at that. I'm the guy who knows all this. So don't look there. The problem's on Pennsylvania Avenue. Look there. That's deflection. Going to be back after this.
News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hello, everybody. This is Doug Singleton with Bernie Office Solutions. If you've been around Montgomery as long as I have, you may recall calling Bernie for all your typewriter needs. Well, we've evolved past typewriters, even though our experienced techs can still fix them. Bernie's now a member of the Xerox Business Solution with offices throughout the Southeast. Bernie is more than just a local copier company you have trusted for over 55 years. We have become specialists in remote worker, learning transition technology, and digital marketing campaigns. Did you know that Xerox provides managed IT services? With over 30 years of nationwide experience delivering industry-leading IT services, we are poised to help your organization get the most value from your technology investment. Whether your focus is printing systems, local network support, or leveraging the power of the cloud, Xerox has the resources and know-how to get your organization on the cutting edge. Give us a call at 271-4750 or on my cell at 201-0199.
Ernest Financial LLC presents
Did You Know?
Did you know that the average life expectancy of an American these days is almost 79 years? Yep, it seems that Americans are living longer, and having a longer life is a pretty good deal. Unless, of course, you outlive your money. It's true that a lot of Americans get Social Security, but I'm talking about the money that you put aside for retirement. The money that you depended on for your old age. Now, I'm not saying you live past 79 years old, you're going to be broke, but unless you planned properly, there is a chance you could run out of money. That's why you need to call David Ernest, 279-7431. David is an asset preservationist with nearly 40 years of experience in making sure that you don't outlive your money. So call David today, 279-7431. That's 279-7431. Ernest Financial, LLC.
Hi, I'm Ashley Smith, owner of Rick's Jewelers. The results we saw after a few weeks running on Blue Water Broadcasting were phenomenal. Our sales rep was easy to work with, and we have been pleased with how helpful the entire team has been. We will continue to run our campaigns across the Blue Water family of stations, especially as we gear up for our busiest time of year.
If you're a local business, 93% of your customers listen to radio every week. Reach customers where they are. Radio. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking. Truckers, listen up. Would you like to be home every weekend and two nights during the week? Then you need to get in contact with Wiley Sanders Trucking, one of the nation's largest. Family-owned, family-operated. Wiley Sanders cares about you and your family. Wiley Sanders Trucking. Call them today.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. Talk about a change of wardrobe and a change of reality. Today, windy, sharply colder, Arctic air moving in. No traditional high today. Temperatures fall all day, down to 42 by, let's say, sunset. Upper 20s overnight tonight. The first widespread freeze of the season. Tomorrow will be a cold December day with high temperatures only in the 40s. Coldest night will be Tuesday night. I think we'll fall to the mid-20s by dawn on Wednesday. And then back to the 50s on Wednesday afternoon. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
We're redesigning financial freedom at CBNS Bank. Make purchases at participating stores and restaurants using your CBNS Bank debit card through your mobile device with Mobile Wallet. Charges and fees may apply from your cellular service provider. Contact your service provider for information. Member FDIC.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Christmas time is upon us, boys and girls. You know, one reason men enjoy giving jewelry to that special one, special someone, is because of the way they light up when they see it. And it's fairly easy, but is it special? And what I mean by special, is it a piece that is unique, that's not mass-produced, that she is going to see it on someone else? It's unique, particularly if it's uniquely made just for her, particularly if it's uniquely made just for her and it has a story behind it. That's where Josh at Dillon Range comes in. He creates great works in jewelry. They're at 119 Brown Springs Road. You want to have a great Christmas gift? You need to call them at 334-215-3669. Set up an appointment with Josh. Go in and meet him. Bring things that you may want to have him to work with to make or add to a piece of jewelry, or just tell him about who that special someone is. He wants to try to capture the personality and see if he can help you select something, or better still, make something for that special person. Dillon Rings on 119 Brown Springs Road, coming from AUM towards Atlanta Highway on your right-hand side. But I suggest you give him a call and set up an appointment. His bride, his name is Leslie. Wonderful couple. Big listeners to this show. 334-215-3669. Give that special gift for this Christmas. Dillon Rings. Okay. Middle East. Did you see where the scientists got whacked?
Oh, yeah, and a few hours ago, some of the Arab press was reporting another head of the Revolutionary Guard was killed at the border of Syria and Iraq.
Hate it when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two scientists and one Revolutionary Guard.
Yeah.
Did you hear how they whacked the chief scientist?
I've heard many stories, actually. They keep changing it.
They, remote-controlled machine gun?
Yeah, and an exploding truck.
Well, exactly. So they kill him, and then they blow up the evidence here. So here's the Middle East events, and the Iranian scientist is whacked.
The president-elect also will get the presidential daily intelligence briefing starting today. That'll be the first time since his election. Comes at a very tense moment right after Iran's top nuclear scientist was apparently assassinated over the weekend. Holly Williams looks at the challenges the Biden administration will face in the Middle East.
There's been an outpouring of grief in Iran for nuclear scientist Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, gunned down in an ambush last week. Iran's President Hassan Rouhani blamed Israel for the killing on Saturday, though Israel hasn't commented. President Rouhani said his country would take revenge in due time, but wouldn't fall into a trap. That could be a reference to hopes in Iran that President-elect Biden will rejoin a deal that gives Iran sanctions relief in return for restrictions on its nuclear activities. President Trump withdrew from the agreement in 2018. At this base in Iraq, used by American forces to coordinate airstrikes, they told us their threat level hasn't changed.
Okay, so you have the Biden administration coming in. You have Iran that's a little off the mark here. And Mossad allegedly whacked this guy or whacked these people to try to slow down the process because they're within months of getting a nuclear weapon. Let's listen to the second half of this story.
The Pentagon announced this month that troop numbers in Iraq would be cut by 500 just before President-elect Biden takes office. General Ryan Rideout told us it won't impact operations.
I think we're capable. I don't think you'd see much of a difference, I guess.
But critics say it could give a boost to militia groups backed by Iran that have fired scores of rockets at U.S. targets this year alone. And across the border in Syria, the fight against ISIS still isn't over. This sprawling camp is home to more than 60,000 displaced people. On the ground, the 82nd Airborne Division is patrolling the desert. It's thought thousands of the extremists are still at large.
The point of these patrols is to stop ISIS from coming back and gaining a toehold in villages like this one.
Lieutenant Colonel Val Morrow told us they're trying to persuade locals that the U.S. will stick with them in the struggle against ISIS.
We're not going away until they're gone, is the bottom line.
But following President Trump's decision last year to open the door to an incursion by Turkey into Syria, some locals told us they're finding it harder to trust the U.S.
Finding it harder to trust the U.S.
Hmm.
I wonder if our intelligence community had anything to do with that.
Now, and so much, you know, you talked about Chris Krebs and sort of this deflection look the other way, and it's not so much That's why I appreciated Stephen's call. It's more the framing. It's like, those weren't the allegations. And later on, they get into, you know, wanting to just say, hey, submit, this is crazy, we're good patriots doing our job. These sort of deflection things become even more obvious on foreign policy. It's like, you know, now that Tony Blinken's at Secretary of State with Biden, we're going to tell Putin, stop putting bounties on our soldiers. It's like, this isn't how any of this works at all. You give a tough talking to Vladimir Putin, he stops his bad activities. Oh, we're going to restore NATO while also approving the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Like, it's just so cartoonish compared to, I think, how a lot of this stuff actually works.
And what do you do with Turkey?
Right.
Which is a problem within itself. There was General Jack Keane is going to be talking about the hit on the nuke, the Iranian nuclear scientist. Listen in.
Definitive punishment for those involved in the assassination of one of Iran's top military scientists, believed to be linked to Tehran's nuclear program. This comes as the Pentagon orders the USS Nimitz back to the Persian Gulf, though claiming it was only deployed as a backup for troops being pulled out of Iraq and Afghanistan. Let's bring in now Fox News senior strategic analyst and retired four-star general Jack Keane to weigh in. So when you look at this assassination that we believe was likely done by the Israelis, what is the impact of this?
Well, I think clearly what they're trying to say, the Israelis, certainly they have intelligence that we're not privy to have publicly. Certainly the United States is sharing that with them. And the Israelis have always believed, And they had the evidence to prove it, that Iran really intends to build a nuclear weapon. They went into Tehran in 2018 in January and cleaned out a warehouse of classified information that they brought back to Tel Aviv, and it revealed absolutely that Iran is developing nuclear weapons, and they fully intend to, despite the nuclear deal. So that's really the issue here. What the Israelis have attempted to do, Pete, is below the level of conflict, delay the development of these weapons as much as possible. And it explains why there's explosions taking place all over Iran in the last year, to include one at Natanz, which is a uranium enrichment facility, and another is a missile production facility. Widely believed to be the Mossad doing this in an espionage campaign along with Iranian resistance groups. Why? To slow down the development of their nuclear enterprise.
Do you remember when they went into Iran and got all that information? You remember it was a ton of it.
Right.
I would love to have seen how they got that out of Iran. And
Beebe did the press conference.
Yeah, did the press conference, and he would like flip to page number 941 in the document. I was impressed with Mossad for carrying that out. So Israel sees a handwriting on the wall. And they're trying to get them in check right now, because they know the Biden administration ain't going to do squat. They know Trump would take some immediate action, and he would have Middle East Arab support doing it. And that's where Biden is about to screw the pooch in this whole thing. He's about to mess this incredible deal going on within the Middle East. He is about to mess that up, and he is going to have a bunch of stuff back in his face. Okay, General Jack Keane on Iran retaliating. Interesting approach he's got here.
General, for Israel, it's existential. It may be academic for others, but Israel, Iran has said quite clearly what they would want to do with a nuclear weapon. Now, they're saying they're going to retaliate. Do you believe it'll be a significant retaliation, or something that they can just use for internal propaganda to make it look like they did?
Well, I think the election certainly will have an impact on the Iranians. They never really significantly retaliated to Qasem Soleimani being killed by
Correct.
The Trump administration last January. And that is because they wanted to see the outcome of the election. Now it appears that we're heading towards a Biden presidency. And I believe they will meter their response, because the one thing they don't want to do is, with a new administration, so poison the well that they're not going to be able to get the sanction relief that they believe this administration will give them. So I suspect that will cause them to limit their response somewhat. They don't want to walk up the ladder of escalation to that degree with a new administration, and therefore put any negotiated deal off the table.
Do you remember when Michael Flynn called the Russian ambassador to the U.S. and said, don't overreact to the sanctions?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Keane is talking about, that Iran's not going to do because the Biden administration's coming in and they want to leave that door open. I thought that was interesting because I think the Iranians aren't stupid and they don't want to escalate something up where you do have to retaliate. And I think he's right. I think that anything they do is going to be for show and it's not going to be very effective. Jack, he's a pretty smart guy. Okay, so Brennan, the guy you love, Joey, most of all within the intel community, the guy that you think is four square and just the best thing going.
All in the up and up, yeah.
Never has lied, never has done anything wrong. Your guy, Brennan. Brennan made a comment. General Jack Keane's going to comment on it.
Former Obama administration ex-CIA Director John Brennan slammed this attack. He said this, this was a criminal act and highly reckless. It risks lethal retaliation and new round of regional conflict. Iranian leaders would be wise to wait for the return of responsible American leadership on the global stage to resist the urge to respond against perceived culprits. Was this a criminal act? Was it reckless? I mean, he probably would have said the same thing about killing Qasem Soleimani.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty extraordinary. It takes a lot of gall to say something like that in the face of what Israel is dealing with Iran. Iran is a threat to the United States. They've proven that. They've blown up our embassies. They've killed our soldiers in Iraq. They've killed thousands of us in the 40 years. But they're not an existential threat. They're not challenging the survival of the United States. Nuclear weapons in their hands with ballistic missiles and the continuous and repeated threat to destroy the state of Israel. Iran is an existential threat to the survival of Israel. That is why their actions are so different than ours. That is why their determination and resolve is so different. I'm stunned that a former CIA director would not recognize this level of intensity and determination for what it really is to protect the security of the Israeli people.
It, I mean, I think he did a good job laying that out there. Is that, and again, why would Brennan just come out of the blue of nowhere and say this is wrong? And think about what are all the things that they were doing? They were trying to whack Assad.
Oh, I think that's coming back, too.
When they get the whole band together?
Yeah. It's one of the things they were doing that Israel's kind of like, well, you know, you can do that. but we'll see.
In the fullness of time, we're going to be back after this.
Dan Morris Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Blessings, a Christian store, has everyone covered on your Christmas list. Blessings has a great selection of Christian books and supplies, including beautiful Bibles, and engraving is free. Blessings is now offering shopping by appointment before or after hours, or you can utilize their curbside pickup option. Come get your Christmas shopping wrapped up at Blessings and even wrapped for free. Blessings, a Christian store at 103 North Memorial Drive in Prattville, on Facebook or online at blessingscs.com.
Laser Copy is your silent partner for your
your business. Printing brochures, multi-part forms, envelopes, and even custom wedding announcements. No job is too big or too small for Laser Copy, whether it be printing or shipping. Laser Copy can safely and securely pack and ship your UPS, FedEx, and postal packages, and they accept returns. Laser Copy can mail all your Christmas packages and deliver them safely. Laser Copy can create custom Christmas cards for your business and family. Visit them at lasercopyinc.com.
Located at 103 North Memorial Drive in Prattville.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Joey, can you go to Friday's show and pull over Howard Kurtz? And then I'll give you another one at the top of the hour break to pull over. Look at you. You're so smart. I'd consider doing this for a living.
Yeah, maybe so.
Howard Kurtz was, we had this clip for Friday, and he's going to be talking about the media coverage of Biden. I think this is interesting.
Well, New York Magazine correspondent Olivia Nuzzi had some harsh words for her mainstream media colleagues. She predicts they will hold back from offering critical coverage of President-elect Joe Biden.
You think?
Because, she says, journalists want approval from people in power. Listen.
The White House Correspondents Association has no spine. Even in the Trump era, they absolutely suck at what they do. They are terrified of pissing off the administration. And it's like, if that's what they're like when, like, the president is calling us the enemy of the people, like, what are they going to be like in a Biden administration? I'm, like, genuinely scared.
Howard Kurtz is the host of Media Buzz and a Fox News media analyst. Howie, she said that, essentially, a lot of these reporters who get high-profile jobs covering the White House come from Ivy League institutions, and they want to be invited to all the best parties, and they don't want to make their bosses angry or make their friends angry. So she predicts fawning coverage for the Biden administration. How do you see it?
Well, we certainly haven't seen that for the last 4 years. Look, I don't think most reporters want to be patted on the head. I do think they like to be respected and not attacked as enemy of the American people and all of that. I also think that they want access and leaks, so sometimes there's a certain suck-up factor. But there's little question that much of the news business for the last 4 years has treated President Trump as a dangerous liar and used that to justify a blatant double standard in the coverage. So most reporters happen to like Joe Biden. Personally, he's been around forever. Everybody here in Washington knows him. I've covered him since the 1980s. He's a very nice guy. But there's almost a sense of gratitude in the tone of the questions to Biden for bringing back a sense of normalcy after years of what they would call Trumpian chaos.
I'll give you an example. So Biden is playing with his dog, and he wrenches his ankle that has a hairline fracture in it. He goes in the back door of a clinic to have it checked, and he has a boot on. Now, question, how long will that boot be on, and when will he make his first public appearance with the boot on? The media, you know, say, oh, he's playing with his rescue dog, his service dog. I mean, it was just, it had all goodness and glory about it. If that would have been Trump, it would have been, Trump doesn't know how to play with dogs and gets pulled down and fractures ankle. And it would be clumsy, overweight, out of breath Donald Trump. It won't be old, doddering Joe Biden. Now, I will say Joe Biden looks better now than he has in a long time. Maybe he's getting his orange juice at home or something. I don't know. But the press is just going to go nuts. I can't wait to the first White House Correspondents' Dinner where he goes to that. And they are just going to fall all over him. They're not going to roast him like they do most presidents. Certainly not the way they did to Sarah Sanders. Let's continue on with Howard Kurtz. Some bash Trump, lift up Biden.
She said that it doesn't mean you can't be critical of things that the Trump administration has done or is still doing. You can do that and still say that Joe Biden ought to be facing some tougher questions.
Yeah, Olivia Nuzzi is right when she talks about how journalists have repeatedly exaggerated every mini controversy involving Trump, the White House, the administration. Everything's cranked up to an 11, particularly during the Russia investigation. And she's also right that there was a backlash. There is a backlash from more left-wing journalists against any working reporter who dares to portray anybody from Trump world with a little bit of sympathy, treating them as human beings. It's like if you don't trash Jared and Ivanka, you're out of the cool kids club. And that's been a dangerous trend. And suddenly I think that we will not see that during the Biden administration.
I love the cool kids club. That is exactly right. If you say anything good towards Trump or you don't say things harsh,
right,
you're not the cool kid. You're a bad kid. And they rake you over the coals. And the more you do against Trump, the more of an enlightened person you are and more you're in the club. That's why they are going to go nuts during the White House Correspondents Dinner and the Gridiron Dinner. They are going to go nuts over that. So it'll be, I on a personal basis, having lived through the Reagan administration and watched the way the press did him, what they're going to do with Biden. They're going to fawn all over him. They're going to go absolutely nuts. Very similar, I think, to the way they did with the look the other way, Barack Obama, and he is really a presidential god, or the way they went through Jimmy Carter. Thank God he's not Richard Nixon. He is so humble and so unique. It didn't really matter if there's no clothes in his luggage.
You know, I've been calling for years that journalists, especially political journalists, need to be a political eunuch, so to speak. Don't vote. Don't donate to any party, any person. And actually, I didn't realize this. He just talked about it in an interview. That's what Glenn Greenwald does. He doesn't give money. He doesn't vote for anybody in particular because he realizes as soon as you jump on the bandwagon for somebody, even if you're trying to be on the up and up, you'll tend to play. And then this is different than what you're talking about. And you're saying that journalists at the national level dealing with presidential politics will report for the basis of status and access.
Oh,
prestige,
man. Absolutely. In Washington, D.C.?
Oh, really?
Without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah.
Final cut of Howard Kurtz talking about the media coverage of Biden.
Rollout of his cabinet has already brought a lot of fawning coverage from media bigwigs.
Yeah, but let's talk about the Thanksgiving presser, John, because the questions to President Trump were absolutely aggressive. But that's to be expected because sure. It's the first time after 3 weeks of silence that he has actually addressed what he calls the stolen election. I think there was a pent-up desire among the press corps to challenge the president on these claims after all these legal setbacks. And I think Donald Trump had a pent-up desire to tangle with the press, to send his message that he's never going to stop saying he was robbed, but also to send the message that, of course, he will leave office if he loses the Electoral College.
Yeah, that's the headline. He says if the Electoral College votes in Joe Biden, he's out of the Oval Office.
News 93.1 FM. Dan Moore Show going to be back after our top of the hour break.
Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center. This is WACV Cusada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News. News, I'm Rich Dennison. Drug maker Moderna today announced it's submitting its coronavirus vaccine candidate to the FDA for emergency use authorization. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar says once approved, vaccine shipments will begin immediately.
And then really it's going to be up to our nursing homes, our hospitals, our pharmacies to get that dispensed. So it really could be within days of FDA approval. We'll start seeing vaccines in people's arms. Moderna